This is the Thrive Content Clubcast.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. My name's Izzy, and I'm a learning designer here at Thrive. In this episode, I'm joined by Al Thompson, Thrive's Chief Content Officer, and Tracy Whitaker, a Customer Success Lead. In today's episode, we talk about all the ups and downs when it comes to parenting teenagers, and both Al and Tracy share their experiences and advice for listeners. Welcome, Al and Tracy, to this episode. To kick things off, can you tell us a bit about your background and parenting journey, how many children you have, and what their ages are?
So my name is Al Oxley, Chief Content Officer here at Thrive. I've been a mummy for 20 years, had my children quite young, as it was something I wanted to do. I wanted to have a lot of energy to really enjoy them and then still focus on having a career as well. So I have 20-year-old Caitlin and 14-year-old Maisie. And they are both very, very different.
Yes, I can relate to that, Al. So I'm Tracy. I've been a mom for 16 years, nearly 17. So David's going to be 17 soon. I have two children. So David, who's 17, just started college. And my daughter, who is 12, feels a lot older. Again, they are completely two different types of characters, two different adults, shall we say.
Nice. Thank you. Although I'm not a parent, obviously, we all know parenting can be challenging, but let's focus on the positives first. What do you think are the best things about having teenagers?
For me, it's seeing their personalities really develop. They sort of get a stronger sense of who they are. I think when I remember being a teenager, it was a horrible part of growing up. You didn't really know who you were, what you wanted to be, where do you fit in? There's always those sort of divides at school with the cool kids or, you know, nerdy kids. I was a bit of both. I think I had more, it's going to sound terrible, but it's really not, more male friends than girlfriends, as I couldn't deal with the drama. And I also have three big brothers, so I think naturally I got on better with boys. But what's been really lovely is to see both girls, although they're very, very different, have very clear personal values. They know what they like, what they don't like. And I think you can really enjoy sort of having good conversations, you know, even if it's sort of finding out what their interests are and going to see new things together. And sometimes you can do it all together as a family, or sometimes you just take that time with them on one-to-one and do the things they love. But for me, it's just seeing them develop into these young people with very sort of, I guess, strong traits and know where they're going, which is something I didn't at that age.
Yeah, and I think to answer from the other perspective of how the relationship has changed from when they were younger and being a lot more dependent, as teenagers, they become friends, although it's still really important to maintain that parent to child relationship and boundaries. The conversations, as Al mentioned, are really refreshing when it comes to, like, they teach you about stuff that's going on that I'd never have known if I didn't have kids at that age, for example. So they keep me youthful in a really weird and wonderful way.
I think as well, I don't know about you, Tracy, but like, even technology, we work for a tech company, but they find their ways around things like are so quick. It's what I do. Even if it's like taking a photo, different angle, Maisie will certainly show me sort of how to use the features on an iPhone camera that I didn't know about.
Yeah, I'm the same with my mum. She can't take a picture. She cannot take a good picture of the life of her. I just don't understand. But yeah, like you say, the teenage years are obviously very confusing for everyone involved. And it's mostly a time about finding out who you are as a person, gathering your independence. And like you said, Tracy, you've got to still keep these boundaries in place. So how do you kind of go about striking a balance between setting the boundaries and giving them their autonomy and independence?
Maintaining a clear communication line is probably best way of summing that up. I think one of the challenges is trying to manage my emotions and reactions to situations that they find themselves in or they talk to me about. But ultimately, it's trying to really not judge it and just talk through, okay, how are you feeling? What's the situation? What are you in control of? What aren't you in control of? And it's rationalizing something they feel quite emotional about, but equally maintaining the boundary of, you know, there can be things that you may not want to share with me as your mom, but, you know, letting them feel that they can trust me to give them the right type of guidance, which might be different to what their friends may say or advise.
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, when I sort of look at the boundaries and the independent side, it's about, I mean, I had a very long reign growing up. And I think in a lot of ways, I don't know, my parents might beg to differ, but I think that as I wasn't so restricted, I didn't rebel so much. I think sort of when I look at the girls now, Caitlin wasn't very streetwise. She didn't know to put her hand out to get a bus to stop. She would probably get on the wrong bus if we let her go on her own. Whereas Maisie's the opposite. She loves living near a town. She has a bus pass. She gets a bus to school. She sort of whizzes along to meet her friends. And I think for us, it's about, with the boundaries, yes, you can have this independence, but you need to be home by this time. You need to tell us where you are, what you're doing. Both girls, we sort of had a, and we still do, even though Caitlin's 20, we like to know who they're hanging around with. So if they're going somewhere and we don't know who that is, they will always bring them around first, which I think is quite nice that they completely respect that. And so do their friends as well.
Yeah, nice. Would you say your parenting method is similar to what you experienced as a child?
Hell no. I'm very grateful for what my parents have done for me, but equally there are many things I have learned from their parenting that have helped me to develop my approach to how I raised my children, is probably the best way of describing that. Like how I grew up, but it could just be like, you know, growing up at a different time as well, but I had a lot of freedom. And I just don't feel that the world is the same place. And there is a lot more things that I want to know. And like how I like to know who the friends are, where they're going. I need an address. I use an app not to stalk them. And equally, they access this app as well, where they can see where I am. And it's just if anything was to happen, at least we know where each other are.
Is that Life 360?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
So yeah, I'm a lot more on top of my children than my parents were with me.
Tracy, as a mother to both a son and a daughter, I'm quite curious about your approach to parenting them. Do you find you treat them the same, or do you find yourself adapting your parenting style because of their gender?
My concerns are different in some ways. So with David, he is going to town with a big group of guys. So my worries and concerns are slightly different around the other guys that they'll be meeting up with, generally how they're seen by the public and treated by people. Stories that he's told me has been a bit alarming, for example, where he's been judged just for the type of group that he's in. And he's the sweetest guy. He's one of the sweetest teenagers you'll ever meet. But just because of the type of people he's with, he's been treated in specific ways. And different to my daughter, she's probably more confident than David, and she's only 12. So she hasn't been to town on her own as such. I've only gone as far as letting her meet with a friend and go into a store without me, but I'm very much nearby. So I think the age difference affects it slightly. And as she grows older, it may become more similar as to what I'm concerned about. But at the moment, it's very different.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned conflict earlier. Obviously, that's an inevitable part of any relationship. And a lot of people react to conflict in either an aggressive way, passive aggressive, or they avoid it completely. How do either of you approach conflict?
Well, I was brought up very strong, I would say, to be the strong person I am today. And I think that's definitely how our girls are. But also that it's okay to disagree and have a healthy argument. Like, that's okay. That's life. We're not always going to get on with everyone and have the same opinion. So I appreciate when the girls challenge. I think it's healthy that they do. And it's just about, as you said, Tracy, it's just responding in the right way and sort of really listening to what they're saying, how they're feeling, and responding to that in a way that's respectful. Don't get me wrong, there are times when you're their parent, they need to be told off, or, you know, they've been, you know, naughty or completely pushed boundaries, in which case you do have to go into parent mode. But I think conflict's healthy, and I think it's just, I think my biggest advice to anyone, certainly with teenagers, and I don't know if you have this as well, Tracy, but when Maisie comes home from school, quite often she'll just go straight to her bedroom, she does her homework, she listens to her music, she comes out when she's hungry. And so my husband's at home, he works from home, but if I'm there, I always make sure, hello, Maisie, how are you? It's just to keep asking how they are. There'll be days when they won't want to respond, they're tired, hormonal, but they could have had a really bad day and not be open about it. And so I think for me, I just keep asking. And sometimes there's conflict with that. I'm tired, go away. But that's okay, just to ask again a little bit later. But I think, you know, it's just around responding and understanding. I think that actually their brains are still developing, their hormones are sort of all over the place, and that really impacts how they feel and think. So I think just being mindful of that.
Just to your point, Al, Eva is very much the same. And we had a recent scenario, actually, where she came home, she did the usual, she goes to her room, doesn't really talk to anybody. Something that we do as a family. So every Sunday, regardless of what's happened during the week, we have game time. So, you know, we've had dinner, because they visit their dads every other weekend. So it's really important for us, again, to just reconnect and prepare for the week. And during that game time, my daughter was very, very, Eva just seemed really unsure of herself, like she wasn't talking to us much. My husband is their stepdad. So again, it just adds a bit of, you know, the dynamic is a bit different. And he said to me, like, is Eva okay? Have I done something to upset her? I think, I don't, you know, what could you have done? I don't think so. And later on in the evening, after we reconnected as a family, Eva approached me and just said, look, Mum, I'm really worried about school tomorrow. Something happened last Friday. We didn't have time to talk about it because she'd visited her dad. And there was a situation with one of the boys that made her feel really upset about herself. And she was anxious for Monday morning. So it's really important, I think, to have these, not so much a strict routine, but something that they know that they can look forward to, like a check-in point, without feeling pressured to talk, but knowing that there's an opportunity to talk.
Yeah, I definitely think in those moments when you don't feel so pressured to talk, that's when the most valuable insights will come out. And often that's all people really need for support. They just need to know that you're there, and they can go to you when they feel ready.
Sometimes if the weather's made a bit of a rod for my own back recently, as the weather's been really, really bad, and my husband was away, and he often walks Maisie to the bus stop in the morning and then gets his coffee, and the weather was so bad, I said to Maisie, oh, you don't want to get on a bus, it'll be busy, I'll drop you in. And it's those moments in the car at the start and the end of the day, I think, where just little things come out, like you say, Tracy, there's that sort of that little safe space where it's just me and her. It wasn't chaotic because we weren't sort of rushing along the pavement and it was pouring with rain and things like that. Reason why I say everyone from my back is now every time it rains, she demands a lift to school. but it is those little moments where, you know, and you know what it's like, perhaps if you're planning something with your friends, but you don't want to approach or ask your parents if it's okay, but you've already gone quite far down the planning route as a teenager. And it's things like that. She'll be like, "Mom, is it okay if I go to town on Saturday?" And that's fine. But, you know, you can see that for her, she's had to build up and find the right moment.
And those little moments, like when they're kids, you're obviously getting a lot of quality time with them and doing things together all the time. And those moments in the car are probably more valuable than you organising a day out, for example, and you're getting a lot more out of it. And they're doing a lot, so it's hard to find the time.
Yeah, and I think with Caitlin, she works a lot. She works really hard. She doesn't always get weekends off because she works with horses. And so it's hard to get that time with her as well. But when you do, it's just precious, I think. But of course, technology, they're in touch all the time. I think I get updates via WhatsApp from Caitlin, what's going on, whether it's funny things, annoying things, whatever, all throughout the day. So you can sort of stay in touch that way. But I don't think nothing beats sort of just sitting next to one another, right? Like you with the games, Tracy.
Yeah, I mean, I literally remember reaching out to you, I think about a couple of months ago, Al, when I was just like, I'm finding it hard, but I'm really trying to just accept that they have their own lives now, and I've got to consider what they've got planned as well as what I want to do.
Yeah, I think we are past four of us going on holiday now.
Oh, that's so sad. They get older, they might come back around and like, oh, well, we want family holidays. We want them to pay for it. Al, you mentioned social media, and it's obviously a big challenge in today's age. How do you handle that as a parent?
Oh, well, with both girls growing up, I told them I would check their devices, and for their own safety. And with Caitlin, what was really insightful was how strong she was. She got some quite awful messages from boys on Snapchat, but actually she would never swear in front of us. But reading how she responded to these messages, she really held her own, which was really surprising to us. Very strong, just sort of stamped it out. As she got older and was on Instagram, and there was an incident not that long ago where she received really, really nasty messages. She also has a lot of followers, and I've sort of said to her, like, you need to be mindful of whatever you do will have an impact on your little sister, because she's watching you. She will, you know, she'll naturally want to do what you do because you influence her effectively. And so there were times when Caitlin would get sent like things like bikinis and things like that, because she has a lot of followers, to sort of post pictures. And so she did sometimes, but was very, very mindful about what that could look like, and actually has since changed her account. But it's about, I think the body image thing is insane. And I think it's Dove have done some really, really good body campaigns. And what's interesting is I think Caitlin was quite affected by that, and this sort of illusion of perfection. And, you know, like, we can see where something clearly is unnaturally edited. But when you're young and growing up, you don't realise that, and you think that's what you should look like, and everyone should look, I don't know, I think people all look the same sometimes, like makeup, hair, like everything. So I think for me, that was, Instagram could be a horrible place. With Maisie, we had an incident a few weeks ago on TikTok where we have an app that turns her apps off at certain times, and she puts her phone in our bedroom at 9 p.m. before she goes to bed. She knows we'll look through it for her safety. And we actually found that she was following what was very clearly a paedophile on TikTok. And so for us, sort of like looking at the content he was posting out to all of these children, so we could report it, but actually it just sparked the conversation again, finding the right moment, not the next morning rushing to school, but sort of saying, you know, Maisie, why are you following someone who is quite obviously a paedophile? She was like, oh, really? I don't even know who that is. Because for some children, it's who has the most followers and following the most people because they follow you back is really important. Like, I know Caitlin used to do this Snapchat streaks thing. It's just like a line across a post. But she would give out her login to Snapchat so her friends could do it when she was busy. It's just insane. Insane. But for Maisie, it was just be mindful of who you're following, what you're posting. And even then, when I sort of approached it, just in a really casual way. And Caitlin said, you know, Maiso, darling, what have I told you? Don't follow people you don't know and don't let people follow you. And again, she was like, oh, really? Didn't realise. And Caitlin was like, block them. But it was, if I hadn't have checked, we wouldn't have had that conversation. And so I'm really mindful of giving the girls privacy. And I think that is really important. And they do have their own little network of friends. But equally as parents, certainly I didn't have all this growing up. Or access to all of this new information and networks, that it's really important that you keep them safe. And that is, unfortunately, you have to check. And that's not because you don't trust them, it's because of other people.
Yeah, that's really scary. One of my friend's sisters, she's 10, and it's kind of a similar thing. The parents were noticing her weight was dropping quite dramatically, and then they went on her TikTok and obviously found she was following loads of eating disorder things and food TikToks. It was just insane, and now she's got a full-blown eating disorder.
Yeah, because you just, I don't know, like in my day, I don't know, I think Izzy, you're too young for this, there was like Sugar and Ms magazine. Did you ever have them, Tracy? Yeah, and Bliss. And again, it would always be like, oh, I wish like I had like slim thighs like that, like in that picture and things like that. And it took me a while to be like, you're never going to be like that, but that's okay. Like, it's fine. But I think naturally growing up, you have this massive body image thing.
I think on the topic of that, something that helps, not so much with David, but with Eva, I generally try to model confidence in a natural way. So when I was younger, before, you know, my daughter would look at me and see that I would wear makeup every day and I'd be really dressed up to go to work and all of that type of stuff. And now I consciously show her that I don't need to wear makeup all the time. And, you know, I don't need to have my hair, you know, perfected every single time I'm going just to the shop, for example. But equally, when I do myself up and I have done my makeup and I am dressed up, she notices and she comments. And it's just, you know, identifying that it's nice to get dressed up sometimes, but equally it's okay to just be you and, you know, just, you know, think about the task or the day ahead rather than worrying about what you look like to other people.
Yeah. I know we have this thing, like when I go home, put my scruffs on, like go and put my joggers on, put a hoodie on, you know, go out in the fresh air, like try and get Maisie out in the fresh air as well after school, get that brain break, do the horses. But again, like I have this thing on Sundays, don't wear makeup, like it's a real free day. And it's nice, I think they're pretty good at, yeah, just sort of chilling sometimes. But it is right, it is important, Tracy, to show that, you know, you can just be you, it's fine.
And Tracy, do you feel like your daughter is more affected by body image and social media than your son?
No, surprisingly, David is also very conscious. So he's at the age where he does have some older friends and they go to the gym and it's all about who's got the biggest muscles and gains and, you know, their image from that perspective. So actually, Eva at the moment, where she's, you know, evolving to becoming a woman, for example, it's still an important topic for David, who is, you know, evolving to being this man. And it's keeping them focused on the right things. Whilst you want to look a certain way, it's all about being healthy. It's about being true to yourself and identifying that it's okay to not go to the gym all the time and to eat unhealthily sometimes, where you're not conscious that you have to eat chicken and you have to eat eggs and, you know, you can have a cake sometimes. It's human, right? It's those little joys in life that, you know, you don't have to be in control of everything. Sometimes it's nice to just enjoy yourself and just, as Al said, just be you and live life, because there is a lot of pressure, isn't there, of, you know, Yeah,
I just feel like there's so much pressure around every aspect of life. And another area where there's pressure is career and academic achievements. I know when I approached the end of school, it was a very confusing time and uni was pushed at me. And that's the path I went down, and I ended up dropping out of the first uni I went to. Do your children have specific career goals? Do you have specific goals for them? Or do you just leave it up to them? Like, how are you dealing with it?
For me, I just want them to be happy and ultimately just tell them, work and do something that you enjoy. I think it's the sort of industry we work in didn't exist when I was at school. So naturally it just sort of evolved as I was sort of evolving and working out what I wanted to do as an adult. So I was really lucky. Caitlin from year nine really, really wanted to be a veterinary nurse. She's not naturally academic. She tried really, really hard, smashed her exams. She helped that she went to a really lovely school. And she went to agricultural college. And then the pandemic hit. She still smashed her course, but had an awful time throughout college. And she didn't want to continue with the uni course that she had got the grades to go and do, because she'd sort of had such a bad experience, as many other people did throughout those years, with the college and that sort of side of higher education. So she decided to sort of go into full-time work. She's now at a place where what she wants to do is quite niche. There's lots of veterinary nurses. The jobs don't come up that often. She then realised she wanted to be a paramedic, so sort of applied for uni. They said, go and get some experience. Then she discovered she was really squeamish with human fluids. So she crossed that off. And there's times when I feel really sorry for her. She's very, very loyal. She's very hardworking. She's got good work ethics. And she's always been very, very responsible. And there's times where she's just looking for jobs to sometimes get out of the one she's in. Where it's like, just take your time, you know, just something will come. So for her, she sort of from a very early age knew what she wanted to do, but the opportunities aren't there in such a saturated market. With Maisie, she sort of expressed interest in law. She is also very, very creative. She loves fashion, she loves design, but again, it's up to her. I think she's doing business studies at school, which is great. She's doing psychology at school. Her school's one of the few that offer it as a GCSE. So she's very academic and very bright. So has different frustrations. But I think with her, it's just about following your heart. She already knows she wants to go traveling for a year. Again, very, very different. But for me, it's just, if they ask for advice, I'll help them. But it's things like, with Caitlin, for example, sort of saying to her, you know, think of like the top five companies you'd want to work for. Like, let's just write to them, send them a little video, do something different, because the jobs aren't always there. When I first started to work for our CEO at a previous company, I met him to talk about another job. Someone else just edged it. He came back to me 2 days later and offered me a different role. And so I was trying to say to Caitlin that the things that are advertised, there's probably another 5 or 10 positions in that business, but they're not advertised because they don't need to advertise them, because someone internally could move sideways. So help in a practical sense, but also with Maisie, just sharing things, or maybe we watch things together in sort of areas that she is interested in, just to keep that sort of interest alive and keep that sort of, you know, thought provoking. But no, I'd never dictate for them what to do. I just, no one did for me. And I think they'll find their own way and passion. And I think having that passion and love for what you do, whether it's inside or outside of work, is so important, because that's what gets you up, right? Like, yeah.
I also feel, and I don't know if you feel the same, Al, if I tried to dictate, it would actually just push them further away and probably hate me at the same instance. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the one thing about growing up, I had a very, very long reign. But if someone said I couldn't do something, I'm still like it now, let's be honest. if someone said I couldn't do something or couldn't achieve it, I would prove them so wrong. And so I think there's an element of knowing myself that I can be really stubborn. And it's also like about the giving them that independence. If you try and control it too much, they're going to go and sneakily do things. So you're better off knowing what they're up to. Get me halfway. But yeah.
Yeah, it's more about the journey.
Lego.
Okay, so that was my final question. So before we wrap up, do you have any final words of wisdom about parenting for our listeners?
I think to your point, it is definitely a journey. And when you think you've cracked it, you really haven't. And it's about persevering and adapting to the new challenge or the new exciting thing that the kids are interested in. And it's just maintaining that trust, that you keep that relationship really strong. My approach to parenting that seems to have worked well with me, my kids might say something different, but I think they'd agree, is that I don't lead their lives for them. I'm very much their cheerleader. And that really does work well for us, as I think that they're growing up to be strong adults. I'm really proud of who they're becoming.
Nice. I love that.
I like that. For me, it's about stay connected. So keep finding those moments when you might be busy or they might be tired and not want to spend any time with you, and just keep asking. You know, are they okay? They might not sort of open up immediately, but they will if you keep asking.
Nice. I have got one more question for you. how has being a parent impacted you in terms of mental health, both at work and at home?
Definitely much more anxious. I think when you first come home with a baby, you get home, you are elated because you have all your baby pinks. You get home and then you're like, I'm in charge of this tiny human being. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm very maternal. I think I know. So it's the kind of unknown is really like, what? That happened the second time as well, by the way. Like, you got Maisie home. I'm 6 years older now, but actually, what the fuck? There's another little human here. who was, oh my God, she was colicky. She had a reflux thing. She was born at 1 minute past midnight. So she was really active at night, whereas Caitlin was born at 2:07 in the afternoon. And for me, it was that moment, and I don't know if you had it, Tracy, or even going back, I'm like, oh, you get home and although you've loved it and you might have planned it and you're all prepared, it's that, oh my God, it's another little tiny human. But the other thing is when they learn to drive, anxiety kicks in. Honestly, you think you've gone through it all before, like choking, not letting them eat grapes, you know, making sure that they're still breathing when they're asleep because they're too quiet. You go through all of that and then you think, yeah, they can text you, you can see where they are, like everything's fine, and then they get in a car and they're in control of that, and you, yeah, that is a whole new level of worry, I would say. At work here, I have complete flexibility and it's very much family first. I have worked in more traditional organisations, certainly as I was a young mum as well. And when you sort of go back to work after being on leave and you might put your child into nursery or with a childminder, their immune systems pick up everything. And I remember the guilt of, I've just gone back to work, like after 6 months off, and now I'm having to say I can't go in because they've got a bug or they've got a temperature that they've picked up in childcare that you spend a fortune on that they can't even go. So for me, it was at previous places of employment, the pressure of being a working mum. And I don't know why. I don't think this was intentional. And I think since the pandemic, it's changed. But it would always be the mum has to be there. The mum has to leave work and go and do it. And that was kind of like an unwritten rule, like was nothing that was discussed or agreed, but it might be because maybe Mark was working in London, for example, but it always just felt on me to sort out the children, even though I work full time too.
Yeah, I think for me, I've been on a real journey where, as you mentioned, you have the kids and you've just got this newfound confidence where anxiety overtakes you, but somehow you just work through it because you have to, right? You're the mom, and you have to make a decision, and you have to own that decision, and you have to be confident and certainly look confident in what you're doing. And as they grow older, it's even more important to look confident, to look like what you've decided is the best thing possible. Even actually, there could be a potential risk here. Forget that part. This is how we're moving forward. And you've got to be the stable one to bring everyone, to bring the kids on that journey with you. As they become teenagers, they start to question that. So where they've given you this confidence, they now have the power to break that a little bit because they question it and they may even disagree often. So they help to kind of develop, they've helped to develop me as a person, move from being able to just move forward, have the confidence. And now they're teaching me to actually step back and to explain myself a little bit more, be a bit more thoughtful in my thought process as well. And that helps me in my other relationships at work, with friendships as well. So that's something that I really do appreciate, being a mom of a teenager or teenagers soon.
Yeah. And the one thing I sort of tell myself, if Caitlin's whizzing off somewhere in her car, is you can't worry about what's not happened. Like, don't waste that energy.
Oh God, I imagine that's easier said than done.
It does get better. Yeah.
Well, thank you both so much for coming on. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. Hope the listeners found it insightful, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye.
You've been listening to the Thrive Content Podcast. Visit www.thrivelearning.com for more information. Be bold. Be brave. Thrive.